From Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Tuesday, March 26th. Coming up, we'll learn more about how Chicago has been figuring out how to feed thousands of migrants over the last year and a half. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. 2 members of the Illinois Prisoner Review Board, including its chair, have resigned after a convicted felon released on parole allegedly murdered a child hours after his release. Alex Degman reports.
Chair Donald Shelton and board member Leanne Miller, who oversaw the hearing for Corsetti Brand, have both stepped down. Brand was released on parole last October after serving 8 years of a 16-year sentence. He returned to prison in February when he violated his parole. The Sun-Times reports he allegedly showed up at an ex-girlfriend's apartment despite a restraining order. But he was granted release again on March 12th after telling the review board he actually did not show up at her apartment. On March 13th, he's accused of seriously injuring that ex-girlfriend and killing her son, 11-year-old Jaden Perkins. In a statement, Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker said the evidence in the case wasn't given the consideration that domestic violence victims deserve. I'm Alex Degman.
One of the resigning Prisoner Review Board members, Donald Shelton, was a longtime Champaign police officer. He was appointed to the board by then-Governor Pat Quinn upon his retirement in 2012. The Champaign Unit 4 School Board ended its meeting early last night when 2 of 5 remaining members walked out. School Board member Betsy Holder said she left with Amy Armstrong to prevent a vote on a new board vice president. The board usually has 7 members. 2 resigned within the last month for different reasons, 1 leaving the vice president position open. Holder said she and Armstrong wanted to wait until new members joined to hold the vice president vote. She said she decided nothing the board was supposed to do yesterday would hurt staff or students if it had to wait. Some of those actions left undone include replacing laptops for students and staff for $1.3 million and the first step in updating social studies curricula. As the U.S. Supreme Court prepares to decide the case of medical abortion, Democratic Senator Dick Durbin says he believes the pending case is a political play. The court is set to hear a case on whether the Food and Drug Administration correctly approved mifepristone more than 2 decades ago. That medication is the only drug approved for terminating pregnancies.
I happen to believe that they're safe and effective, and they have proven that in decades of availability to women across America. I think this is a politically inspired effort to undermine a woman's right to make reproductive choices.
A lower court already issued a ruling to revoke the FDA's approval, a move that would restrict how the medication is delivered and distributed. The Supreme Court is expected to hear the case beginning today. Spending time in an animal shelter can cause stress for pets waiting for a new home. Illinois Student Newsroom's John Shea reports a local animal shelter is teaming up with an online platform to help animals avoid shelters entirely.
The Champaign County Humane Society is partnering with Home to Home, a free website that helps pet owners rehome their animals. On the site, people post information about their pets for potential adopters. Instead of going to the shelter, pets can stay with their owners until someone adopts them. Mary Teifenbrung is the executive director of the Humane Society. She says it feels great to see owners successfully rehome pets through Home to Home.
We've had 3 animals that were scheduled to be brought to the shelter, but in the time between when they called us and when they had their appointment to relinquish, they actually found a home through Home to Home.
More information on pets listed through Home to Home in the area can be found at cuhumane.org. I'm John Shea, Illinois Student Newsroom.
Still to come, we'll learn more about how Chicago has been figuring out how to feed thousands of migrants over the last year and a half. That story is coming up next on 217 Today.
The new documentary, The Secret Song, chronicles the final months of Doug Goodkin's 45-year career as a music teacher in San Francisco. When the COVID pandemic happens, Goodkin's trusted teaching methods are thrown into disarray as schools turn to distance learning. The film shows how a successful music program that once focused on learning by ear finds ways to adapt to keep students engaged. Watch The Secret Song now on your favorite device with the free PBS app.
You're listening to 2 & 7 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. Chicago has been figuring out how to feed thousands of migrants over the last year and a half. City officials and local agencies took on the difficult task of feeding large crowds of people, mostly from South America. And as they try to strike the right balance, there have been many lessons learned along the way. Adriana Cardona Magigod has the story.
The Greater Chicago Food Depository distributed meals to migrants when they began arriving on buses, then across police stations, and later across 21 shelters. Amy Laboy was in charge of much of that endeavor.
We ensured that every shelter that we worked with had milk and coffee, breakfast cereals, fruits. We were definitely providing dishes that involved rice and chicken.
Laboy says throughout the whole process, her team tweaked the menus and their strategy to figure out the right balance between nutritious meals and something people were used to eating.
Lots of meetings, lots of phone calls, lots of strategy, lots of making sure that vendors had capacity to do what they needed to do, that they had the information that they needed.
The depository hired restaurants, including Black and Mexican-owned businesses, to cook. Together, they provided 20,000 hot meals daily at around $6 to $8 per dish. The agency spent more than $17 million with state and private funds. Rodel Castillo was one of those vendors. He co-owns Garifuna Flava, a Caribbean-style restaurant on West 63rd Street. He constantly asked for feedback from shelter staff.
We did our own census on a day-to-day basis. When we take something in, we'd ask them, you follow up, you know, how did it go, how did it go? And then we were able to determine what we needed to kind of change.
Sometimes, he says, migrants like the food. Other times, they said that some meals were too spicy. He had to hire more staff, shop for food in bulk, and quickly develop a menu. He delivered more than 500 meals daily.
Several hundred pounds of rice per week, several hundred pounds of beans per week.
Castillo and his family are from Belize. They learned a lot about Venezuelan cuisine and how different it can be from Mexican and other Central American regions. He quickly figured out a key ingredient that most Venezuelans love.
Plenty of mayo. So we were buying literally buckets and buckets of mayo.
That's true, says Gerardo Abreu. He co-owns Sabor Azulia, a Venezuelan restaurant on the northwest side. Standing in the middle of his busy and smoky restaurant kitchen, Abreu points to chicken breast sizzling on a grill. He says Venezuelans are used to eating hearty meals with meat, rice, and salad, plus plantains, potatoes, and stews.
Se come la salsa como tomar agua, la mayonesa. Se come en cantidades industriales.
He says they consume mayo like drinking water. He doesn't have a contract with the city, but volunteered in efforts to feed migrants at the start of the migrant crisis.
Nosotros al principio, en las primeras oleadas, ayudamos mucho.
He says they figured out how to cook on a budget for tons of people.
Y pensamos, ¿no? Que sea económico y que sea mucha cantidad, pues, porque la idea es que alcance para bastante gente.
One idea was rice.
Otra fue el arroz.
With shredded chicken mixed in and a simple salad. No condiments, no peppers, no spicy food, and more salt than usual.
Que es un plato a lo mejor muy tradicional con una ensalada que es muy sencillo, muy básico.
Laboy with the Chicago Food Depository says they adapted in their menus and cooking style much of what Abreu is talking about.
Not so spicy, vegetables not on the side.
She also came to the conclusion that most migrants love another condiment besides mayo, ketchup.
Oh, that was a huge learning.
Yes, putting ketchup on spaghetti is quite popular. Adriana Cardona Magigad.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says today will be partly cloudy and breezy with a chance of showers and a high of 56 degrees, southwest wind gusting up to 40 miles per hour. That's it for today. 2 & 7 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by Alex Degman, Emily Hayes, Jade Marceau, Lindsay Jones, John Shea, and Adriana Cardona Magigod. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 2 & 7 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.